Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring today's episode. Get 20% off plus free international shipping and 2 free gifts with our promo code FILMSAC at manscaped.com/FILMSAC.
I'd always hope that right before I die, my life would flash before my eyes, and I would see wonderful things. A life full of parties and friends, and how I'd learn to play the guitar, and maybe there'd even be a girl. But as I was hanging up there, I didn't really see much of anything. Remember when you put that cork in my butt?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 627. Did I already say my name? I'm Scott Johnson. Joined today by Brian. I wonder if he also yelled, "You will drink your milkshake!" every time Paul Dano said things done away.
That's what I do. Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we break out our Swiss Army knife, and man, does this thing have a solution for every problem you can encounter. Especially if that problem involves heading over HBO Max and falling in love with this comedy adventure from 2016 that pulls at your heartstrings while asking you to pull its finger. Oh, movie, you had me at gas-powered Daniel Radcliffe motorbutt. There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes. Did I guess the song for this week, Gibbet? Maybe. Anywho, you know, I'd always hope that right before I die, my life would flash before my eyes and I would see wonderful things, just like the top of the show. Yeah. A life full of podcasts and friends and how I'd learn to spew water like a fire hose into another dude's cup to satiate his thirst. And maybe there'd even be a girl or at least a multipurpose man guy that I could make out with on a bus that I made from twigs and berries.
Yeah.
But as I was hanging up there, I didn't really see much of anything, but I did see you guys. And I know it sounds dumb, but I really thought for a moment that maybe, just maybe you guys could stop using my penis as a compass. Randy, just saying things are in your head. That's bad talking. Bad talking.
It is. Please stop using that word, please. Nicely done. Also with us today, Randy, what if he just did the tip Jordan?
Ooh.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Oh. Brian. Randy. Okay. Look, I just stop staring at me with that Saw Gerrera look on your face. Okay. I'm clearly not. Well, I mean, neither are you. Mm-hmm. You're not doing well in the head right now.
Yeah.
Not after what we've been through. I wouldn't blame you or anyone at all if you just imagined a corpse. I mean, you just imagined a corpse and then you dragged it around in the woods and played fancy, fancy dress up with the corpse that you imagined. What else are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to give $100 an hour to a therapist, but only talk to them once a week? And then they get your doctor to prescribe something for you that makes you gain weight, lose brain function, and lose sex drive? What a deal. Maybe the corpse in the woods that I promise you is completely imaginary is a better option for you right now. Maybe it's not necrophilia if you ventriloquize it, or maybe ventriloquizing it is exactly what makes it necrophilia. I'm just saying everything sucks and there's literal trash scattered everywhere until you get to town where it's clean. And that's a metaphor, isn't it? It means you need to rejoin something real and say goodbye to the human fart boat so that the rest of us don't have to wonder if you're out of your mind so much that it carries over to other people. Are you kidding? Stop it. Sign up for a class at the community college and open a sensory deprivation tank salon and don't allow yourself to have internet at home and take up a hobby that takes a lot of time. Like that lady who started digging under her house for no reason. Be like that lady. Goodbye.
Wow. Wow.
But what about love? What about love? Love matters.
Nicely done. Also with us, and finally, Brian, his farts become more useful with time and practice. Ibit.
Way more useful. I can clear out a ski resort. Yeah. All right. Just like with Daniel Radcliffe's pants, it's time for a little pop.
Nice.
This wasn't quite what I had planned. A deserted island. I was this close to planning the end. But then I saw you. I've been pining for Mary Elizabeth Winstead. But now that I peruse her Instagram, I'll take you instead. I kissed a corpse and I liked it. Blue lips as cold as the Arctic. I kissed a corpse just to try it. His fart glows bright when you light it. His talk is swell. He smells like hell, just like an unlit water well. I kissed a corpse and I liked it. I liked it. This corpse is just so magical. Spark hands, projectile mouth, farts flammable. Boner is strangely directional, like a jet ski. Must ride it. Ain't no big deal, it's flatulence. I kissed a corpse and I liked it. On a bus made of string and bamboo sticks. I kissed a corpse just to try it. Recreating my favorite Insta pics just goes to show I'm not a boner, but his butt works like an outboard motor. I kissed a corpse and I liked it. I liked it.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Baby.
Wow.
I got you made my neck hair stand on end. Am I alive?
You must be alive. Yet? You must be alive.
Yeah. You must be alive. Exactly.
You're not just a corpse. Yes. That sounded like more work than usual. Did it?
Yeah.
It really wasn't. It you know, there was a lot of overdub. There's like 6 or 7 tracks in that one of my vocals. So
wow.
Yeah, about average for, okay. for one of these.
It's a lot of work. I hope everyone at home appreciates what we've done here for the film.
I thought you just did this for me.
Yeah.
I just do it for Dunaway. And if anybody else likes it, then that's a bonus.
Bonus.
Doing it for Dunaway has a nice alliteration. I like the sound of it.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Let's talk more about
I like it.
Let's talk more about Swiss Army Man. Swiss Army Man is the movie. It came out in 2016, as mentioned previously. We have a fake Fletcher to explain things, but I'm so excited to talk about this movie. So let's let fake Fletcher have his way, and then we'll get into it. Here you go.
A Swiss Army Man. A hopeless man stranded on a deserted island befriends a dead body. And together, they go on a surreal journey to get home. There are farts, and there are more farts. Put down your Harry Potter dolls and get ready for something unexpected. Jurassic Park.
All right.
Wyatt is almost leaning towards a Asian accent, and it started to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's a little weird, right?
That's what happens to all AI. That's what they said. It all becomes racist eventually.
How is the AI evolving? Is it going to become sentient at some point and say, I'm not going to read your crap anymore.
I hate you.
But I will speak like this forever.
Exactly.
So this movie is from the Daniels, Daniel Kwan, Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel
Radcliffe
Schneinhardt.
At all. It was.
Oh yeah, I forgot. We had three Daniels in this, and a Dano. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daniel. Three Daniels and a Dano.
And a Dano and a Winstead. All walk into a bar. anyway, this thing came out, and I remember seeing previews going, well, that looks kind of dumb. Maybe I'll see it sometime. Looks like future film sack material. Didn't really worry about it. I'm pissed that I hadn't seen this before. Yeah. This movie
is... Am I the only one that's seen it?
No, you must have been, because I thought none of us had, so you might be the only one.
Exactly, yeah. No, this is definitely my first viewing.
I also love this freaking movie.
Last viewing, by the way.
But
also, Dunaway, every time someone would write in and ask us to sack it, you never spoke up. I've noticed.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Because we don't usually do comedy, and I just could never...
Comedy, huh?
Well, I never could. Well, that's the thing. Watching it this time, once I watched it again, I was like, okay, this is appropriate because it's comedy, but it tries to be genuine in parts. So therefore, it definitely qualifies. It's not straight up comedy. It's just comedy with a little bit. Also, by the way, you know me. I don't think farts are funny. There, I said it. I don't think farts are funny.
Yeah, you don't like farts
on their own. They're not funny, right? But it's context is what makes farts funny.
Yeah, usually. So, and this has a lot of context in the farting department.
Scott with the counterpoint.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. I was not expecting much. I don't know what I was expecting. I knew so jump ahead years and you know that these guys are responsible for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I loved that movie. And so did a lot of people. Won Best Picture and a bunch of other awards. So it was clearly good. And also, what I loved about that movie was how freaking weird it was and how different and how it took me places I wasn't seeing possible or didn't know they were going to go or whatever. And this did that again, but very differently. And I still have tons of questions about it. Like, I love a movie where I'm still not totally sure if those guys saw him fire off into the ocean and after. I think they did because they all... freaked out and saw the corpse go.
I can answer that if you'd like.
Yeah, give us an answer.
There's a great I after watching it and after Tina went to bed, I did a deep dive into finding out more about it because it's just as fascinating to me. And I've got a couple movie comparisons I'll talk about later. But there was an Alamo Drafthouse interview with the Daniels post, post showing interview, and they talk with them about the process of like getting a studio saying, yeah, we'd like to make a movie about a guy who finds a corpse on the beach and animates it and falls in love with him and blah 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 and
that's farts, how you tell
you know it. Exactly right. And but one of the things they say is, you know, a lot of people ask do the other people, his dad and Mary Elizabeth Winstead and all these people, do they actually see what the corpse can do, or is it all in Hank's head? Is Hank crazy? And he says, Hank's not crazy. The corpse does all that at the end, but we wanted to still make it a little bit vague at the end so that if you wanted to believe that Hank was crazy, then you could still believe that. And
Hank is still crazy.
Yeah. Right. Bernie's corpse doesn't move on its own at the end. It actually, it just seems like the life force of farting is the only thing that's animating it.
Yeah.
Hank.
Yeah. I love. Yeah. He called him Bernie for a reason. Bernie. I got the joke.
Manny.
I got the joke. So their reaction to the body at the end kind of confirmed that. But it was really right up until then that we were led to believe that maybe this was all in his head. They never, she for acted sure. like she didn't notice the corpse out in the yard. Was it ever there? Maybe it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It could have been a Tyler Durden thing, spoiler alert. But
That's what I thought we were doing, actually. When the dad showed up and was freaking out and he was hiding behind the ambulance and peeking around and stuff, I went, oh, it's like Tyler Durden. He is the corpse, or he is the same person.
Right.
And then they switched it again and they switched it again. It was just
they could have even gone with, Hank is dead the whole time. And that it really is his corpse, and he's, you know, just observing. He himself washed up on the beach or something.
Yeah, or right. Or yeah, I half expected the movie to end with him hanging again, looking yeah. down on his own body while it farted or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But I liked that the thing that you were really focused on, in my opinion, was the dead body. Of course, is he actually doing stuff? Mm-hmm. It really was all just hand waving. So you wouldn't see the fact that this guy's living in the woods behind this lady he's actually stalking, right? It was all, mm-hmm. look over here for the magic. And then it's like, the magic's happening over here in this love story, which actually ends up not being where he ends up placing his love. He places his love more in his kinship with somebody who Manny. Also was suicidal, with Manny, right? Which I love, by the way, Manny, which is just man. It's like a generic name you could
use. Right. So, and the trivia on Paul Dano's character is that his full name is Hank Thompson, which is a play on Tom Hanks from Castaway.
I was curious about that. You could definitely feel some Castaway.
Hank Thompson, for sure. That's funny. Yeah. I didn't notice that at all until you just said that.
Smart.
It's just what this is it's not just comedy and it isn't just weird. It's a weird mix of it that these two seem to be really super into. And you know, you were talking pre-show about deep diving on old videos that the Daniels had done, and a lot of this carries through the most
famous of which is, you know, Turn Down for What, which, you know, features a guy who also has a boner and humps anything until it explodes and makes his way through an apartment building to do it.
Yeah. It's a very weird. It's weird. If you go, you'll see that these guys are consistent, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But it's in the same way that Everywhere All at Once has like emotional resonance and is telling you powerful stories through metaphor. It's also goofy as shit. And this is that again. And I am not used to this combination, and I really like it. I really came away loving this movie, like really, really liked it. Like as weird as it is, and it is weird, it's freaking weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It turns out it's my kind of weird.
That's why I wanted to be vague, by the way, because when I watched it Wednesday night, one of the first things I typed in our little film sec chat, and I didn't want to say anything either way about liking it, not liking whatever, I said, this might be the weirdest movie we've ever watched on film sec.
Oh, I think so.
It's way up there.
It actually got me thinking a lot about what makes a movie weird. Like what do we call a weird movie? And it's a very, very subjective thing. And so I started looking up like lists, people's lists of the weirdest movies ever made. And I was specifically looking for lists that included this one, right? And a lot of them are like movies you've never heard of, movies we would never see because they're just not available. They're small. They're weird on purpose, and they're just not for a general audience. But that led me to thinking, what are the weird, what before Swiss, I saw Swiss Army Man, what did I think was a weird movie? Like what was in it? And I started just like going through every movie I could think of. Yeah. Like, sure. What's weird? And I ended up typing out four. Only four.
Can I predict one of them?
I hope so, because one of them should be in any list.
Are these things
movies.
We've film sacked already, or things?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. Right. I'm just like, I'm trying desperately to think of popular films that people have seen that they would also say, well, that's very strange. That's weird.
Oh, okay. Because
the first movie that came to mind when I was watching this, and I think that the Daniels definitely have to have some influence from Michel Gondry, or Michel Gondry, the French director, also does a ton of really incredible music videos, but
Eternal Sunshine
being his biggest project. And is that one of the four on your list?
Yeah.
And I want to guess one too.
Okay.
And I actually just realized it's five, but go on.
Oh, okay. Now, right.
You got more of a chance now, Dunaway. Go for it.
Right. It's got to be The Shape of Water.
Yes, very good. That was my number one thing that I wrote down.
I love The Shape of Water.
Because The Shape of Water, it doesn't set out to be weird like this one does, but it absolutely gets there. Like,
it gets weird in a way that is the same reason I like this. That's funny you're bringing these up, because these are movies I would put in the same category also of enjoyment. Like I like that kind of stuff, I guess. I don't know what that says about me, but I love
stories that involve quirk, and this is quirky as hell. And so is Shape of Water and that kind of stuff. Cause this movie is intentionally being weird. It's embracing weird. It's saying that there's beauty in weird, they're, you know, not just trash. Don't just throw them away.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. But yeah, I really dug what
I guess what I didn't is, the one thing the movie surprised me with, because there's some of this stuff you just kind of saw coming. But the thing I did not see happening until it made it clear was that he was just off the coast of San Francisco, like behind her house, like we talked about.
Yeah. That's right. What was so good. That was the distraction. They were distracting from everything. Look over here. And it's like, oh, he's a weirdo.
That was wild. It made me question, was that bear really there? And I know there's some, I actually looked this up. There are some bears in some parts of that part of California, but they're super rare. So I was starting to question everything.
Rare bear.
We got a bear on our flag, but we better have some bears.
You better have some bears.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't put on false advertising if you don't have bears.
Them showing up down in the near the beach, though, I think is pretty freaking rare. I don't think that happens very often. But
it's a rare bear.
Yeah, it's a rare bear.
Rare bear.
Before we get too far away from it, I want to keep on Randy's list. Is Be Kind Rewind on that list?
It isn't, and I thought I didn't want to like go too far into like defining a director and then just saying this is what they're doing, because like then you're gonna just like you're gonna want to talk about that weirdo from Denmark. What's his name?
The one that made all the weird ones.
Anyway, so yeah, so
his is so disturbing.
I actually forgot Be Kind Rewind was by Michael Gondry as well. I was like, is that a director we've talked about? I was like, oh, of course it is. It's
I never saw that one. I should see that. And it recommended it when I got done. That was the first film that popped up after this movie was there.
Because a lot, like it reminded me so much of just the, what was that term that they used for, you blankify a movie, right? By recreating with household materials and garbage. There was a term that we had in the early 2000s.
Oh no!
Oh my God! And it was kind of based on this thing. Sweeting. You're sweeting a film.
Oh yeah. I've heard that. I didn't know what that meant. So it's kind of how does it connect here? Because I didn't know that's what
because it comes from Be Kind Rewind, because they don't have a lot of the movies that people want. Mm-hmm. And so they produce their own versions of the films. Like, here's our version of Jurassic Park, but it's, you know, dudes in dinosaur costumes. And they say, well, this is the Jurassic Park that comes from Sweden.
Oh.
So they're sweeted versions.
Okay. Now I need to see that movie, because I never understood the connection. I get it now.
And it feels like that whole bus scene, like all of the stuff that in the cave, like the little model of, you wonder where he gets all this trash that he makes all this stuff from, but all the little models that he uses to teach Manny about life felt so Be Kind Rewind to me, that whole style. Right. Of,
And I don't know if they still do this, but there were a bunch of Sweden film festivals.
Really?
Yeah. There was like the Tampa Bay Sweden film festival and the Palm Beach Sweden film festival. And you had to make a Sweden film by yourself without any budget. And
I love those. Love it, man. Like Indian Spider-Man. Oh, so good.
Yeah, totally.
That stuff rocks.
So, but yes, I absolutely think that the filmmakers are the defining characteristic is what I just want to cut to the chase here because like I ended up thinking about Eraserhead and how, it is Lynch's weirdest movie.
Yeah, by far.
But they're all weird, right? And I have to list The Shining because it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
The Shining should be on there. That movie's still weird. And Kubrick in general, he freaks me out. That guy. Yeah.
The horror aspects of it have completely eclipsed.
Yeah.
The horror.
Okay.
Eclipsed the weirdness of it, but at its heart, it is a weird movie.
Yeah.
Well, and let me just name one more, and that's Fight Club came to mind. And and again, I'm not trying to name the weirdest movies of all time. I'm trying to name the ones that I've seen that are the weirdest.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back through all of these, there is a certain level of mental illness in all of it. Mm-hmm. Like you can't not address that.
Yeah, even in The Shining?
Oh, I would say definitely The Shining.
Right. Nice. So like The Fisher King was like probably the first movie that I openly recognized that bad mental health was telling part of the story.
And he does that a lot too. Like, what's the one I love? Time Bandits.
Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam. Yeah. Time Bandits is even about that in the end. It's about this kid who's going through change.
So I think it's worthwhile.
Wait, do we think that the kid has mental problems and he imagined all the little people and the ultimate evil and the don't touch it, it's
well,
evil.
I don't know about problems, but he's okay. Definitely going through shit because his parents are getting a divorce.
That's a pretty common theme that's a pretty common theme with kids who are in.
I want to believe right. That he really experienced all that.
Well,
stuff.
See, that's the thing is maybe you're you kind of are supposed to wonder because remember at the end his parents, you thought it was all crap, and the parents touched the food in the microwave or whatever, and they exploded, and they never explain it. So you're in a lot like this movie. You are left going, okay, I guess it really did happen.
Was it all a dream?
Kids are all trying to escape. We go all the way back to our current iteration that we all are inspired from is like Alice in Wonderland, or even Wizard of Oz. Those kind of things where it's like, did they? Didn't they? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a great comparison. It's a very, and it's from such a different time that it's actually even a better comparison because it's not soaked in all these, weird things like, well, he farts himself across the ocean or he can throw up water,
it's big or small. Yeah.
I want to be really clear that there are all of these other things that can affect a film like this. And this one didn't necessarily do so. For instance, there can be supernatural surrealism and there's tons of examples, right? Like we watched, did we sack Being John Malkovich? I think we did.
Yes, indeed.
We did.
We sacked Barton Fink. Barton Fink is not necessarily supernatural, but Being John Malkovich absolutely is.
Yeah.
And this movie goes out of its way to give you a reasoning for everything, even when it's ridiculous, like building a bus out of sticks. Like it gives you realism enough.
Right.
And I feel like that's its own subgenre. It's weird and real.
The two directions you can go with a weird film is that the world is weird and everybody accepts that weirdness in the world. Eternal Sunshine, The Spotless Mind is one. The Lobster is another. The world, there's a weird premise in the world and it's just kind of already accepted by everybody. The other way to do it is the weirdness is happening to one person or inside one person or around one person. And then that one's kind of like that's probably your Being John Malkovich. And although that one kind of straddles the line because the 13 and a half floor exists for everybody or whatever the half floor is.
Right.
Right.
Nobody seems super surprised by the tunnel. Like, they're more surprised that it's John Malkovich than it is that a tunnel goes into somebody's brain.
That lobster and sacred deer thing, those two are such great examples of the first thing you talked about, the world.
The accepted
where you just, and that's why it's so discordant because an audience tunes in and goes, well, I have to figure out what I think of this weird thing that everyone is normal about. Like, it's a really great trick.
And I love that they put all of this in there so deftly that you almost didn't notice the rom-com that was going on, which is, will they, won't they? Will they kiss? I don't know. Am I supposed to be in love with this guy? Are they supposed to have and I loved how they mixed these genres up a little bit and made it even a little bit more weird and a little more uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I also love that because there are times where it was very adult, and then there are moments where it was the sweetest, most innocent film I'd seen all year. There was like these times where Radcliffe's character would have revelations about life and what it means to be who he is. And this photo means something. I'm going to dig further and find out what it is. That development is so sweet. It's just a sweet little growth thing, like finding out who you are. And it was almost like its own sub movie. I love that.
And they were doing really good because every time it swung to being too saccharine or too serious, but by the way, the music was amazing. I love all the breathy music and stuff. They would bring it back with comedy. So you would have somebody pontificating everything about life and death. And then there would be a fart scene. And then, there would be everything about love and understanding. Right. And then suddenly there's a dick as a compass.
Yeah.
It's just this constant. Right.
But what's great is it took his fear of death, which was really kind of the overall arcing thing here. He's also a freak show, but his fear of death is what's causing all of this. And so him dealing with those fears. And one of them specifically is his dad or whoever told him that when you die, you crap yourself. You basically let out a huge fart. And so he translates this into this movie, part of this movie, to become almost a character unto itself. And it gets away. At first it's like, oh, he's farting, that's funny, haha, whatever. But later on you're like, no, this means something. Like, it's a meaningful, it's hard to explain, it's a meaningful bunch of farts. And when he flies off into the ocean with that grin on his face farting himself away, it was like him saying his final goodbye to this dumb fear about you know, embarrassing himself when he dies or whatever.
I just suddenly had that realization that there's somebody listening to this who did not watch the movie at all.
I know.
And how could we have possibly enjoyed it? Right? Like, that's what they've got to be asking themselves.
Yeah, you need to, that's the thing. If there's ever been a movie where I hope you saw it so you could listen to us talk about it, it's this one. Yeah, because it needs to be. It's not, it's hard to describe the context in which those elements arrive and how they persist. Because first it's a snicker, in the end it's a tear. It's like,
right. It's, and we're not really even trying to describe it and explain it, because you can't, you'd have to spend an hour and a half and go through every little detail, because everything leads, every little thing in the movie leads to the next little thing in the movie.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the idea of these two guys writing this thing.
Yeah.
Like what must that, because they filmed it in 3 weeks. They must have spent 3 years writing this thing,
probably,
to get that all correct. And
good at this. I mean, I think they already, maybe they proved themselves last year or whatever it was.
Everything ever wrote once. Yeah.
But this just solidified my desire to see what's next. I cannot wait to see what they do next. And I have no idea what it is, but
I worry about that. I always, whenever someone makes a name for themselves with this kind of like outlandish filmmaking, because it's very competent, right? Mm-hmm. But the script and what you actually see are wild, like unlike other things. I always hope that they don't try too many times. Yeah. I hope that they, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like David Lynch is a great example of, I just really stopped caring. I don't care at all about what David Lynch is doing.
He hasn't done much lately, but I don't know. I never really fell off his wagon. And like, I mean, people like
Jim Jarmusch.
Jarmusch? I can't think of his damn name.
Cigarettes and Coffee and
Naked Lunch. No, that wasn't him. That was the other guy I liked too.
No, that was me last week.
That's the Existence guy.
After the drinking.
Naked Lunch, right.
I can't think of the Existence guy. What's his name?
Cronenberg?
Cronenberg. Thank you. David Cronenberg. Those guys, I am always interested in what they're doing, because in a lot of ways they're similar. In fact, if you took all our FilmSack movies and laid them out end to end and said, all right, which one of these is the weirdest? We may have a new winner, but Existence is up there, man. That thing was fucking...
I don't know if... Did Existence... Was it intentionally weird?
I think so. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it was intentionally weird. I don't know.
Cronenberg doesn't do anything unless it's intentionally weird, I feel like.
Disagree. And
because we haven't seen, what's the one where James Woods and Debbie Harry get it on in a television set?
Oh, what? That's a thing? Sweet.
It's Videodrome.
Heard of Videodrome, never saw it, but he was
also known as Brian Dunaway's basement.
Yeah. And that guy, you know, that guy took 2 minutes to do two very kind of not straight-laced movies, but, you know, the one about the Russian mob, forgot the name of it, the one, all the Oscars. That had Aragorn.
Oscars.
That had who in it?
Aragorn. You think it was real name?
Right. History of Violence.
History of Violence. No, the other one. There's History of Violence, and then there's the other one where it's the mob one. History of Violence is the one with the mob, and he runs a little store, and it turns out he was a hitman.
All over the place.
What are those movies called? Gosh dang it. I'm going to have to find him. I'm irritated now with that. But anyway, he's one of those guys, and I'm always curious to check in, even though his last movie, which I saw, was terrible. It was awful, and it tried to be weird in ways that was like, you could tell he was trying too hard. So they can't all nail it, and so I understand the fear the Daniels may slip up. But
I just want to blow your mind about David Cronenberg. If you watch Star Trek Discovery in seasons 3 and seasons 4 at the beginning of every episode, about half of those episodes were directed by David Cronenberg.
Yeah, he's into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was also in something recently. Oh, What We Do in the Shadows. He was he was hanging out with friends at this fancy bar that turned out to be vampires, and all of them got killed but him. He couldn't understand why he didn't get killed. It was great. The guy's willing to laugh at himself, which is kind of nice.
Another set of directors that needs to be brought up here in this conversation about weird movies are the Coen brothers, who, you know, do the weird thing but ground it in either characters that have weird affections or weird afflictions or affectations, that sort of thing, but in a weird environment. Raising Arizona is weird.
Yeah.
But,
right. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou is weird.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou is weird. Yep, exactly.
They're weirder, but they're weird in a way that you feel comfortable watching this with your grandma.
homey weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas if you watch these, you know, I would never sit down with my aunt and say, hey, we're going to watch a movie about a guy that farts all around the forest.
And points to land with his penis.
Yeah, with his penis. She's not going to get it.
But. I'll give you this, Scott. This is probably the best movie I've ever seen that I do not want to watch with anybody. I don't want to recommend to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. I can't be
I'm going to make Kim watch it because I think I actually think she would like this. It surprised me. It surprised me. I was sure she wasn't. And I would get to certain scenes and go, are we heading down the wrong hill here? But it's all gooped together with this like craftsmanship. It's hard to explain.
This movie is very honest right out the gate. You only have to watch the first 5 minutes and you know what you're in for. Yeah. So if you got 5 minutes to get out, so it's all good.
Yeah.
I don't.
You got 5 minutes to get out.
You got 5 minutes. Check it out. If you don't like it, leave.
Sure.
It's good. But it's funny because Tina, who's the only person I know, who hated Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I've talked about this, how she actually groaned in the theater when All at Once appeared on screen after watching Everywhere and Everything and couldn't believe there was any more to this movie, that she was just so ready to leave.
Yeah.
She didn't like Swiss Army Man either. And I think there are directors that you just say, there's a director, I'm pretty much going to love everything I see from these people.
Yeah.
And you don't think about, it's a rare thing to say, there's a director, everything they release, I'm going to hate.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even somewhere you love the one thing they did and absolutely hate the other thing. I mean, I guess it happens. I don't like Hook, but I like...
That's going to be more common, yeah.
Yeah, right. But that's interesting. I wondered how she felt, but then I forgot how much she hated... I remember you telling me this, from the theater or something, you texted me and said, yeah, Tina's out.
Tina's out. Tina had it after Everything.
Yeah.
And was was even less interested everywhere and gave up all at once. All at once.
Oh man. There's some trivia here that's pretty fun. I didn't know this, but this is Daniel Radcliffe's favorite. He says this is my favorite thing I ever did.
And he's because he got to show his butt.
Still says
sweet.
It.
Sweet.
And it's it's in a series of films that he made that are all weird, right?
Oh, Horns is great. You watch that one, you need to watch that.
I haven't
that one
seen
too.
Horns, and I haven't seen what's the one where the guns are tied to his hand or surgically attached to his hand?
Oh, yeah. That's the only one I haven't seen. I've seen everything else.
I want to see it. I'm fine with him taking weird swings like this. I think it's great. Freaking, you've
earned
it. It's
good. Let's face it. He had to do something. What a brilliant move. I don't know who guided him through this, if he figured out it on his own or what, but you know, Harry Potter, how you break out of that mold? How do you get out of that? And he did it.
You have to do something just so far out of away from that almost even to the point where the audience that really liked Harry Potter may not bother to see this stuff, even though it's Daniel Radcliffe. Like, they would say, yeah, no, not interested in that. I like the Harry Potter stuff. And so it's a way to say, great, I'm just going to segment the kinds of things that I do. There's that Harry Potter stuff back there, but then here's the stuff I really want to do.
And it sets him up for certain expectations that are better than you had previously. So now that he's made those weird movies, then when he shows up in The Lost City,
right.
You're like, you have expectations and then you laugh more easily. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you know, oh, he's funny. He's weird.
Yeah. Now in Paul Dano's case, I have a theory. I have a theory that there is a list that floats around Hollywood that has a header that says people to play sociopaths and serial killers. And
we call it, don't let Paul Dano see this. And then he gets to the whole list anyway.
Yeah, because
it's all a trick.
Paul Dano's name is listed one after the other for 10 lines. He's
no, perfect. No.
Sort of
there's some other really good ones like Jesse Plemons. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a great list.
He's good, but he does a lot of he's a sheriff in this new thing. He plays, you know, he mixes it up. The dog moon. What was that thing? Power of the Dog.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Oh no, dog. Right.
Yeah, Power of the dog. He was like a straight laced business dude who was kind of getting screwed. Like he's panned out a little bit since his time on Breaking Bad and looking all weird all the time. But yes, you're right. That dead face kind of. They're almost like the same, you know, actor in a weird way. Him and Dan.
It was a good pick. That's because it was a really good pick because it's supposed to be kind of reflective. You're supposed to like question. You know, oh, these are almost the same people. They were both going through the same struggles, and so it's good that they had like a similar vibe.
I thought they were a perfect match, perfect casting in this movie. Really good. He said in an interview, Paul Dano said
Interview.
Hi, I'm Paul Interview.
He revealed, I was made for this shit.
He said in an interview he wanted to be in this movie so bad after hearing a one-sentence synopsis from the directors, Daniel Kwan and the other Daniel. Specifically, the Daniels tell Dano they wanted to make a movie where, quote, the first fart makes you laugh and the last fart makes you cry, unquote.
That's beautiful.
You know who I would love to see put himself on that list? Mm. Adam Devine.
Oh,
scary as hell serial killer, because he already kind of looks like the Joker.
Yeah, you don't take him serious. By the way, he played the Riddler here. Dano did, but anyway, good little mix in there. Yeah, I'm with you though. He could definitely play some crazy.
Did you guys ever see the old? We were just talking about him yesterday because he was on that the Marvel thing we watched, but can't think of his name now. Yondu, the blue guy. Michael Rooker.
Yeah,
he was
Did
in
we watch
Michael,
a Marvel thing.
Michael Rooker, and it was for TMS for Couch Party. But Michael Rooker is in this old movie called Henry. Where is it? Henry. I'm gonna find it because it's amazing.
Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Here it is. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. That movie made me think that nobody would ever be as creepy as Michael Rooker as a serial killer.
Yeah.
That movie still gives me the shits. That's what, 86 it came out?
You should watch that. Like 23 when he made that movie.
He was pretty
young. A long time ago.
He's so good in it. Oh my gosh.
What a good career.
Yeah, his career is awesome. And he's so iconic. Like, who's like this guy? Yeah. No one is the answer.
Nobody.
Yeah. Name someone like him.
He's way cool in real life, too. I met him at Dragon Con one year, just briefly. But
supposed to be real nice. Yeah.
Such a cool guy.
Yeah.
We're making a really cool list right now. And it's like, I realize it's really white guys. But like, they like this. This is a list of people that if you saw them in a movie and you knew nothing else about their character, you might guess that they're a serial killer.
Yeah, right. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a really good point. But like, do we have favorite serial killers in movies? This is a weird offshoot, but I was thinking like
Christian Bale.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he's become such a meme for that movie.
You know, I thought that has been a cult.
I think Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver is pretty good example of this.
Oh, so good.
Jodie Foster, not Jodie Foster.
Anthony
Hopkins,
but also the guy who's always in trouble now. I can't think of his name. Kevin Spacey. He was really good.
Oh, no, when you were saying that, all I could think was Gary Busey. I'm like, listen, not that much trouble, but
I know. Yeah. It's sad how big that list is getting.
Yeah. Right. But you know,
the guy who gets in trouble all the time now. Oh,
which one?
I'd say Natural Born Killers and Woody Harrelson, but that's
that was such our generation.
Feels like
Does anybody
a cartoon
even remember
now,
that
though.
Anymore?
Like
I mean,
I love that film, and I
that
feel
movie's
like,
really important to our generation. But is it still is it cult? Do people still look back at it now? Or
see,
it just,
that's a good question because it was right on the cusp of like. Reality TV and relies so much on the fact that Mickey and Mallory become huge reality TV or true TV crime TV sensations.
Right.
And would they be more than a blip on the radar in today's society?
Instagram. Yeah.
Right. What's exactly. It's like, they're just doing it for the like, they'd be the more lull. Like a TikTok or Insta killers as opposed to TV stars.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah, they're really smaller time actors, but the two actors from Mindhunter who played Ed Kemper and the one who played David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, were just so freaking scary and perfect that I can't imagine that they ever get other work, like real good work.
Isn't one of them Scoot McNairy, or am I thinking of somebody?
Scoot McNairy was, I'd love him.
I know. You just got to say it as Scoot. Was he on Mindhunter or am I thinking of somebody else?
Well, somebody played, I can't think of damn names today. Who's the one that had all his followers go kill Tate Lady? What's his name?
Oh, Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. Yeah, Manson. Shit. What is with names? Anyway, that I think didn't the same guy play him in that plus the Tarantino movie that featured that guy? And I think maybe that was Scoots or Toots McNairy.
Yeah, so that's an actor named Damon Harriman.
Yeah.
And he played Charles Manson in two different things completely. And
it's just we get on this island, by the way. I thought we was watching Swiss Army Man.
I want to defend Swiss Army Man against this because it's a rare example of it's a well-made movie, but we can't talk about it that much because we're just going to sound like we're playing with ourselves. Like we're just like, you know, if you're You know what I'm saying? Like, you saw this. I saw this. Are we really going to talk, like, have a deep discussion about Harry Potter's penis? Like,
well, I mean, no. But I mean, there's
certainly
a lot
not for more than 5 minutes.
No.
Right.
No. Harry Potter's penis.
But there's no serial killers in here, right? I mean, we could kind of suspect he's going to be a serial killer if we don't stop Paul Dano's character. But I mean, other than that, right?
He's a harmless Don Quixote shouting at windmills, basically.
A little bit. In the end, I don't think anybody ever should have been afraid of him. Photos and of him taking her, you know, pictures without her permission on a bus and keeping those and making it his lock screen and all of that. It's creepy behavior for sure.
Right. Making out with a corpse, that's legal in most states, right?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. The movie never really tells me for sure if any of that shit happened. I don't know.
Right.
It may have. And if it did, and he's got, you know, he's some kind of necrophiliac, got that problem with him, great. Was the body ever there? Great. Is this movie the weird as shit?
Body was there, right? We determined that.
It was, but then was it? Like,
right.
There, half the time when he was, so when people started showing up, Winstead shows up and the little girl. Did the little girl see the body? Did she listen?
I don't know.
Sure, because she saw the boner and started freaking out and crying.
Everybody saw the body. Absolutely.
But Winstead acted like she didn't, because she came out and was like, here, let me help you. Let me help you. She's acting like
at that point, she thought that he was like a living person. I mean, even the girl asks, are you get dressed up for Halloween?
Yeah.
Kind of thing, seeing that how pallid Manny is.
I agree that you should take this film and most films, any film, at face value. You should just take it as it's given to you.
Right.
However, I really did, as you heard in my intro, I really did enjoy pondering if this is all in his head. Mm-hmm. We only really have one main character. He briefly intersects with reality at the end. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, yeah. Because
with,
it's not
Mary
it's
Elizabeth not a, Winston. Yep. Right.
Yeah. It's not a terrible interpretation. It can help you understand what they're going for.
Sure. No. Yeah. That's funny because face value. Yes. Right. We go to movies. We see what we see, mm-hmm. and we can only be given what we're given. But the three or the four of us do this all the time. We just like go on to IMDb. We go on to Wikipedia. Yeah. We start finding all these holes and go, no, wait a minute. There's a whole Reddit thread on was he real or wasn't he real? I love that when movies get me going like that.
Mm-hmm. That's art, right? Conversation.
That's what makes it art. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's so many definitions of what art is, but yeah, like I want more movies that make me want to dig further.
I could have used more Mary Elizabeth Winstead though from this. Mm-hmm. She should have showed up earlier because she's always amazing. Did we watch Scott Pilgrim versus the World here? Did we do that?
No,
yet?
We have not.
I don't think we have. Yeah, we've recommended it.
Talk about another kind of weird movie mm-hmm. with love that story involved.
The new animated thing just launched on Netflix with great
That's right.
reviews.
People, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
People are raving.
At some point, we'll have to watch Cloverfield Lane. Whatever number it is.
I really digged 10 Cloverfield Lane. That was really. Did we once again? I didn't do that one.
Nope.
Okay.
I've not seen that film. So.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I'm going to put it on our list because that's.
Yes, please do.
I want to watch that with you, and it's got some connective tissue with this movie because there is, quite a bit of it where you wonder, are we just in mm-hmm. this guy's head?
Right.
And,
same year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are times when I feel like every viewer is able to draw a line in the sand and say, no, I will not deal with this filmmaker insisting that this is worth my time. And I think that's fine. It's totally fine. Like I was trying to name Lars von Trier earlier.
Yeah, that's the guy.
He is a line in the sand for me. And I feel like if you make me try to watch a Lars von Trier film, you have the filmmaker saying, this is actually really, really clever. And me saying, no, it's not. I don't like it. and I want everyone to have that. You should have that. And you should kind of know where your line of the sand is before you take on too many things that are on the other side. And this film, the reason I'm praising it is because I feel like even if you really don't like this kind of thing, like, you know, a lot of the films we've named to compare it to are films you don't like. I feel like there's something magical in it that will break past the line you drew.
I agree. There's something about it. It's not, this isn't negative weird. It's a weird, positive weird. Like, it worked for me. It made me come. I came away smiling and feeling good not like I would with Von Trier or something. Like, if I, you guys ever want to see, if you ever want to make the mistake of seeing Stellan Skarsgård's penis, well, and I got good news for you, because you can watch Von Trier's.
No mistake there.
What was the
Nymphomaniac?
Nymphomaniac, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I don't think you watched Nymphomaniac, but maybe Melancholia.
I don't know. I don't remember. That's the only one of his movies that I've seen, and that's I don't remember seeing Skarsgård's penis.
Oh, big time toward the end. It's bad.
I would remember
it is in Melancholia.
I think that's it. No, Antichrist? Sorry, it's not. It's in. It's definitely Nymphomaniac. That's the one.
Yeah,
part one and two.
Because I remember, Kristen Dunst does some surprising Melancholia. Nudity in Melancholia, but
surprise!
Surprise nudity. Yeah. But yeah, there's stuff in his movies, like Antichrist. I regret ever seeing it. And it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, by the way, if anyone's worried about that. It's not that. It's a weird title for a movie that has nothing to do with that. But if you really want to see Green Goblin, freaking Willem Dafoe,
right,
doing some of the worst things I've ever seen in a human being do.
And a lot of hardcore stuff.
Kind of what's the word? It disturbs me.
Yeah.
The movie poster for Nymphomania.
Yeah.
Because it's nine actors all in the throes of orgasm, it looks like. And Stellan Skarsgård and Christian Slater and Willem Dafoe. I don't want to see any of those people.
No, and I went into these movies thinking, all right, I'm told he's an auteur. I'm told he's an important filmmaker. I need to put aside whatever, concerns I have. Let's see it on its own merits, blah, blah, blah. I regret all of it. His movies are horrific.
Nymphomaniac is just porn, and it's 4 hours of Charlotte Gainsbourg.
It's two parts, right? Two hour chunks. Yeah. Crazy.
The wildest thing about Nymphomaniac to me is that there's a director's cut that adds an hour to a 4 hour movie.
Jeez. Here's the thing, though. I wouldn't call it porn at all, because it's so negative, and it's almost like,
yeah, I like my positive porn.
What I'm saying is, like,
I want them to be excited about what I'm
porn
showing. Right?
Porn generally is meant to positively stimulate somebody. This thing was not stimulating. This was like horrifying. Everything about it was sex.
Does this make your compass turn the other way around? Is it?
No, it makes it go away. It makes me point inward. It goes way. It shrinks because I was in the pool.
He's got an innie. Oh, yeah.
I kind of felt the same way about Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. Like, I was genuinely interested in whether or not they were falling in love, but the physical stuff all seemed like it was being played for laughs. I was never supposed to want them to kiss or something.
Right. And I think that was supposed to, that's just one of those things where it's like, let's make the audience feel uncomfortable, but also, maybe ask them to open their minds a little bit. What is love? So on and so forth. I was blown away by the physical comedy and the fact that this was done in 2016. If it had done it even a minute earlier, a lot of these effects wouldn't have played, because, man, some of this stuff is hilarious and almost unbelievable. Like when he's shooting, when he's like, putting the little harpoon things in his mouth and stuff and shooting them off. Mm-hmm. That was some pretty cool effects.
It was great. But it was shocking. Like, you'd see it and go, holy shit, he's like a repeating weapon with like harpoons coming out of his mouth. And then later he's got rocks and he's just jamming them down his throat, and he can do they're so overt about
it. Head off a poor raccoon.
Yeah. And it's so shocking and comes in these waves of like, oh, we're in the middle of a montage of sorts, right? Where he's getting camp ready or doing whatever he's doing. And he's using Radcliffe to turn things over, flip that car over, or not car, whatever it was, washing machine. He's the tool for all this setup of building that place he builds. And it's done in a way it's almost like matter of fact. It's like, yeah, here's how you do it. You have your dead body that's also a Swiss Army man. And you just start doing shit. And the audience is going, what is happening here? How are you doing any of this? I love that part of it.
He is the solution to any problem you could have, except for love.
That actually is one of the only is he or is he not kind of things in here. Obviously, he can fart and you can ride him like a jet ski. He can, flip things over and sparks with his hands and stuff like that. Do we think that he was able to affect Hank's mind and make him think about his memories? And why he ran away in the first place, kind of thing? Or do you think Hank just did that on his own.
That's a good question.
Once again, I think is you take the film,
what the film gives you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there, he says, that's what Hank says. He says, oh, you're able to affect my mind, so I'm going to take it at that.
Well, and you would have been able to end this movie and say, okay, it was all just in his head. He had a body with him, but none of this shit was happening. He was just kind of filling in the gaps, and we were witness to it. But then they decide to have him speed away on his back, smiling, out into the sunset, and have everyone see it. And have them all gaping like, what the frick are we watching?
And and the best final line ever spoken in a movie.
Yeah, that was
what
great.
The F?
Yeah. What the F from what Elizabeth Winstead. She got the final laugh. Yeah. That
movie. So good.
Do that, having them react that way and having the film end like that is meant to make you then go in your brain and go all the way back and go, now, wait a minute. If they saw him, okay, then that means the body's real and capable of such outlandish things like that level of air capacity in your freaking intestines and torque thereof.
Right.
Like, if that's possible, then let's go back and rethink everything I just saw. I think the movie did that on purpose and was meant to make me do that. And I like it for it. I like that.
Right.
I like a movie that makes me
like a lot.
Question my assumptions and, you know.
Yeah. I liked how Hank's dad's character, this is so briefly on screen, but we get this entire story of his character being developed off screen by, you know, by relatable events from Hank talking about him all the way to the very end when Hank's dad is standing on the beach and he's smiling and he's happy and he's like, he's never known how to show his son love or acceptance or anything else. And, you know, from not lack of try, but you just know it just felt so good. It was like, okay, he is on his side. He's happy that his son, you know.
Yeah, all this stuff finally, the weirdness makes sense to him. Like him laughing while the rest of them gaped was a really interesting thing. Because prior to that, they were doing a great job of showing what a prick he was.
Yeah, because he's just like, he can't understand his son. He can't get close. A lot of us have that relationship with our fathers where it's like, can't understand why you're doing that. They're the ones who are lots of times pushing that you're weird kind of thing. Stop being weird.
Yeah.
In a lot of relationships.
Oh, yeah. I think that's very common. I was lucky. I was lucky growing up that my weirdness seemed to be fine with my dad. But I think a lot of my friends' dads were rough on those kids.
You know? It's something I think about every day of my life, you know, because I'm like in it right now with a 13-year-old, really deeply in it. And like, because there are times when you, as a parent, you have to push back and say, stop that. You know, I grew up with a dad who was very stern about most things. And it really fueled my creative side, you know, because being creative felt like an escape, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. The movie feels like the Daniels are still exploring shit from their childhood in a lot of ways.
Right.
And it feels legit, like they're genuine about it. And I like that. I respect that about it. It's funny, though. This is not the first Harry Potter movie to go from the Harry Potter franchise to starring in a movie where flatulence plays a massive role. You'll all remember with me, Rupert Grint did it in 2002 with the film Thunderpants. Do you remember Thunderpants?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
Probably a less subtle treatment of a guy who can fart real frequent.
Right.
Yeah, he was a little kid, and like he was the star of the movie, but it's a Stephen Fry movie, right?
Is it Stephen Fry? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like Stephen Fry and Paul Giamatti or something.
Really? Wow. I've never seen this, so I can't. Oh, it's Stephen Fry's in it. Did he make it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying, like, there are these, you know, well-known actors.
Here's the description. An 11-year-old boy has an amazing ability to break wind, leads him first to fame and then to death row before it helps him fulfill his ambition of becoming an astronaut. What?
Nice.
Paul Giamatti, you're right. Ned Beatty before he died. Adam Godley. This is a great cast.
Pretty much everybody in a movie cast list is before they died, right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
When did we get the Emma Watson fart movie?
Yeah. When, She can get on that soon.
You didn't see Beauty and the Beast? That was great. A lot of farting.
Okay, so I actually wrote down a discussion topic. I want to know really, really quickly. Does everyone agree that in an intimate relationship, a couple goes from never farting in front of each other to farting in front of each other? And like, does everybody understand, for instance, that like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have never farted in front of each other yet, but like Jay-Z and Beyonce have farted in front of each other a lot?
Oh, of course.
Like, does everybody kind of
farts? Everybody farts
in the movie a little bit too. So yeah, absolutely.
there's an average 18 times a day, I think, is the current average, and everybody farts. Eventually, you're going to be, if you're in an intimate, everybody close poops. Relationship, you're going to fart. Eventually, it can become jokey where you pull the covers over their head. You know,
I'm still waiting for that moment.
It never becomes that.
Gina still glares at me if I do it, and I laugh when she does it, but she doesn't find it as funny when I do it.
Yeah,
we don't talk about farts in Fart Club at my house.
Yeah,
in every intimate relationship, right? There's a time before the farting.
Always, for sure. Always a time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Taylor, him and what's his last name? I never say it right.
Kelce.
Yeah.
They probably have not experienced this yet, but when they do, I hear she can really rip them, man.
Yeah.
She
just really
let that thing go.
After that, she has to shake it off.
Yeah.
Nah. Gross. What grossed me out the most?
Yeah, what grossed you out?
Gross.
I can tell you. There's another interesting.
What grossed Scott out?
There's another. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a sec. Neither director says they've seen Weekend at Bernie's, by the way. So if anyone wants to, you know, make a claim, you're an 80s kid and you're like, this is just Weekend at Bernie's on an island or something. They claim they never even saw it, the Daniels.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think you can take that and put that out of your head.
And Weekend at Bernie's didn't even start the whole fun with corpses, right? I mean, that was going on in comedy well before
that. Oh, yeah. Right? That feels like you could keep going back, sure. Yeah. Also, this is my favorite of the trivia. Members of the cast and crew contributed Manny's farts. So the recorded sounds of farts in the movie were from the cast, including Paul Dano. He ripped off a couple to record. Daniel Radcliffe claims to this day to have not contributed a single fart.
I can't fart on command. But, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But... yeah. Also in the trivia, which I absolutely love, is Daniel Radcliffe claims that they initially had a couple of like human and what do you want to, mannequins like made up for to look exactly like him. Mm-hmm. And then he demanded that they have him in every scene he could be in. So like when you see the surfing through the water scene, it's Daniel Radcliffe. Mm-hmm. And like they originally were just going to have a mannequin. And he's like, no, I have to be.
I think it was the right choice
as much possible.
Because I knew I was seeing unrealistic things, a hand halfway down his throat, him shooting water out like it's a, you know, tied into a lake or something. Like those things were obviously unrealistic, but having him be there for all of the practical and most of the other scenes was really good. I mean, I think that helped the movie.
You think that's his butt, or you think it was a stunt butt?
Oh, I think it was totally his butt. I
absolutely think that was his hairy crack.
Yeah.
That's a real
hairy crack.
And when we see his hairy crack full on, was the first time in the movie I thought, oh, I wonder what Scott is. Might have grossed Scott out here. I mean, it's a movie that is trying to gross Scott out, like in every scene. Right.
It is. Right. So it was on my list, short list. That's number two or three, but number one is something else.
Surely like it really turns a corner for you when he starts, you know, coughing up water and Dano drinks
the water. Has to be.
Well, that grossed me out in number two or three slot because that is a gross concept, but because I know it's not, it's so far from being possible that it didn't bother me.
Right.
The one that really bothered me is not necessarily possible, but they straight up got up all up in it to make it look like it. So if that gives you a hint, then maybe you'll get it. I don't know. And it's not them kissing. Don't worry about that. I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Kiss all you want. Kiss a boy. I kissed a boy and I liked it.
It's not them kissing. It's not that.
Yeah, it's not that.
Don't always be mad that it's like, oh, you don't like two guys kissing. No, I don't like those two particular guys kissing is a totally different thing, right?
Well, sometimes like, it's just I'm at dinner and I see the people in front of me will just start making out and I'll go. And I don't
like watching anybody kiss.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like public displays of affection that are too affectionate. Like
it's a great sport to be involved in, but not something I want to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So any other ideas what this might be? Cause it really bugged me. It really got under my cheese.
Is cheese a hint?
I don't know.
I'll say it was early-ish on. It was after he realized that Radcliffe could start forming words and was going to be useful in some way. So if that's it, okay. I don't know if that helps or not.
Was it spit then? Is it spit coming out of his mouth?
Nope.
Touching his face. He was touching his face. He was touching his face touching.
That's always a good guess is the face touching.
Yeah, don't be touching faces, but absolutely not. That is not it. I will just tell you, since no one knows it, here it is.
Gross.
It was when he used Daniel Radcliffe's teeth and open mouth
That grossed me out, too.
Shave his beard. That's gross. That is foul. Yeah. You're literally rubbing, whether that hair coming out was fake or not, I don't care. You've got his mouth on Paul Dano's cheeks.
How did I forget that?
Because it's horrible and you blocked it out, dude. That's why.
Yes. This is a combination of Radcliffe's teeth on Paul Dano's face and hair. Human hair.
Yes.
It could be
any hair from anywhere. Especially your freaking face hair, dude. Oh my gosh. Gross.
Oh, so do you think they used a stunt man for that one?
No, those two were there.
That was him.
Yeah.
By the way, bringing up the stunt man thing because I really want to watch that new documentary with stunt man David Holmes.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's Harry Potter stunt man who got hurt on
the boy what's it called? Is it called The Boy Who Lived? It's just called The Boy Who Lived.
Yeah, I think The Boy Who Lived. Yeah.
It looks great. I want to see that. Yeah. Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe's a good dude.
I feel like someone's been advertising. Is it Max that's been running an ad for it? Max,
I think.
Max has it. In fact, they played it.
That's how I knew about it. I think they played it at the end of this.
I think mine previewed it. I think I had a skip intro thing on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely see that.
I just want to say that I love the whole scene with the bear.
No, the bear is so good.
That was played by a real stunt bear named Tag the Bear.
Yeah.
If you want to follow Tag on Instagram, just go to Tag the Bear on Instagram and you can find Tag.
Yeah.
Tag is regularly included in things. Like a couple years ago, there was a candidate for governor out here who was using Tag in his ads and he got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tag is wonderful. And I love that there's a piece of trivia in IMDb that says Tag the Bear worked for marshmallows and ice cream sandwiches.
Yes. Oh, I would work for that.
That came right from the Alamo Drafthouse interview with the Daniels. It was great.
I don't know if that's I don't think that's healthy for that animal to eat what you just said it eats.
It's a bear. Come on, dude.
Who's gonna argue?
Yeah, but it's a bear. I know,
what does the bear eat? Yeah. What he wants. Whatever he wants.
What I loved about that scene? That scene was the most indicative of what I think of when I think of Everything Everywhere All at Once, that kind of crazy combination of this bear is attacking literally right now in real time, but you're jumping around with quick cuts to when you're in the bus and when you're thinking of the girl and all these like moments are colliding while being attacked by a bear. And they do that like nobody's business, those directors. Something about that style. Yeah. It's really
there was such a serious moment leading up to that, the revelation that they had finally found civilization. He had something to tell him, so he's all telling him. And then he's like, the raccoon's over there eating our food or something, and it's just
when he called them the big hairy raccoons eating our food.
The big hairy raccoons. I was like, what? And I was like, because we've already been, primed with the other raccoon thing. And it was just great.
There were moments I laughed out loud a few times and I didn't expect to. Yeah. But they earned it. I didn't feel like the in the wrong hands, this is such a dumb movie.
Easy. Mm-hmm.
It's just you gotta know what you gotta have a taste for this to get it right. And it's not going to be for everyone. It's not for Tina. It may not be for Kim. I'll have to see.
I'm curious. I mean, Tina or Kim liked Everything Everywhere at Once, right?
She did. She loved that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Then I think it's a pretty easy, association. You like this, you'll like that.
Yeah.
You know,
That's a good point. Yeah. If you find somebody who didn't like that movie, didn't like Everything Everywhere All at Once, do not show them this because you're just adding to their misery.
You can get with this or you can get with that, but you know this.
You can get with this. You can get with
that's
that.
It's a song.
You can get with this. What is that? Anyway, who is that? You can get with this. You can go with that.
Fatboy Slim, I think.
Fatboy Slim! That's it! And it's got Christopher Walken flying around the hotel.
Christopher Walken flying around in a video directed by Spike Jones. I'm amazed we haven't brought Spike Jones.
Right?
Yeah. Right? He's weird. That guy's weird.
He's weird. Yep.
I like him. He's happy weird, though. His movies are mostly happy weird.
Yeah,
I love the joy of Christopher Walken dancing. Like, that is just like, I want more of that in every day of my life.
I love it because it, for whatever reason, when I see a hotel that looks a little like that hotel, I just want to see him swooping through there and
for sure
dancing and
also, you know, reminds it reminds people that he's like this classically trained dancer that you don't get to see when he's being this weird murderous character in all of his movies.
Yeah. You know what this kind of reminded me of on a TV level? It reminded me of Devs. It reminded me of Severance. It reminded me of, like, I'm getting those vibes. I'm in the mood for that shit right now. One of those other two shows.
It's a good do something. It's a good time to be in the mood for that.
Yeah. I guess we'll never get a Devs 2.0, but I want I want Severance new season. Get on it. There's no strikes. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
I got one more thing about Tag the Bear.
Go.
In 2020, July 4th was like canceled all across the United States.
Yeah.
And so Barstool Sports did this thing online where they had five Barstool Sports guys do a hot dog eating contest against Tag the Bear.
Yeah.
And you can go see this. The video is still on YouTube. Just look for like Barstool Sports versus a bear. And so they added up the how many hot dogs five guys could eat, and they had Tag the Bear sit there and very patiently eat hot dogs. Seriously, this bear sits and slowly eats 43 hot dogs. He is so freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just like watch that video. You will love this bear.
You're going to eat that picnic basket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, like, it is not what you think. It is not nothing like a bear. It's so much more like a human in a bear suit than anything.
Mm-hmm. I am not going to want to be the guy that cleans up after Tag the Bear after he eats 49 hot dogs.
After,
Yeah. None of that's carnage is what that is.
Tag your shit.
And none of the poop scenes really stood out as particularly gross, right?
No, they were just like, not really. Yeah. Like the stuff he put his head next to is like, well, that's just animal dump.
It's just chocolate pudding or something.
Animal dump.
Yeah, well, the trivia says it was...
It's real poop?
No.
Brownie batter.
Brownie batter, yeah.
Brownie batter, okay.
Oh, that's even better. I would have definitely licked that up.
Yeah.
He'd been don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Listen, the Bible tells us that everything poops.
That's right. That's what I learned.
The Bible, all right.
The Bible in this movie tells us that everything poops.
That's right.
Oh, that's right, because he writes it in the book.
He takes the Bible and turns it into everything.
Everybody poops. That's right.
I also like how this movie did a little trick where it got its cake and ate it too a little bit, where nobody says the R word anymore. And they kind of avoid it.
Yeah.
And I understand why. I don't like saying it either. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who grew up in a time where that was a very ubiquitous word, people were throwing all over the place all the time in junior high and high school and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm always fascinated about how it gets used today. So it's usually a period piece, or it's set like in the 70s, and you're like, oh, of course they were using that word. They didn't, you know, that's just what you did. But this movie makes it a thing, a recurring thing.
Right.
And does it in a way that says, we're both going to use it in a way like we used to use it, but then we're going to immediately have a running joke that you're not supposed to talk that way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to do that like three or four times and literally have our cake and eat it too. They kind of got both ways there, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of that, the dad's verbal abuse that that was kind of showing a little bit, and they used it.
They didn't even told him at the end, told the dad to quit saying that word. Like, and the funny thing is, Paul Dano's the first one to have said it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But you see the look on his face as soon as he says it, like, oh my God, I am not supposed to, that's a horrible word. I don't say that word.
And when it gets back, reflected back to him in this childlike character, this Manny, he realizes, you know,
he realizes how it sounds. Exactly.
Right. It's like a child. It's like when you swear in front of a child and they repeat it back to you and you've realized, oh crap.
Yeah. What have I done?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Well, there's your big deep look there. Manscaped. How scaped are you? Look, here's some stuff to talk about. All right. Everybody needs better grooming. I don't care who you are. All right. And I'm telling you right now that Manscaped has some amazing stuff for you. Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle for the man who deserves it all. Included in this special pack is the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the Weed Whacker 2.0 Ear and Nose Trimmer. That thing's awesome, by the way. Take it from somebody who's getting a little too much ear hair for his own taste. Manscaped's liquid formulations and two free gifts. Oh, man. It's pretty great. Look. everybody needs to shave, to tweak, to get rid of hair you don't want, even downstairs, if you know what I'm saying. All right? So, I'll put it in their words. Now that you've groomed the candy cane, it's time to make sure you don't smell like a reindeer with the crop smoother, soother, rather. This is an aftershave lotion and the crop preserver, an anti-chafe ball deodorant. Yeah, you heard me. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. Sorry, ladies. This is for the boys today. All right? Anyway, get 20% off free shipping. That's international shipping, by the way, and two free gifts with our promo code FILMSACK at manscaped.com/FILMSACK. That's 20% off plus two free gifts and free international shipping at manscaped.com/FILMSACK and use FILMSACK at checkout. Manscaped. Get your jingle bells ready for the holidays. Anyone else have any final thoughts before we move to clips?
I want to hear some clips.
Oh,
me too.
Well, me too. I bet
Scott's added a lot of fart sounds to the clips we're going to hear.
I was curious. I was thinking about that, actually, because usually Scott adds a little fart sounds. Or if he took them away here.
Well, here's what's funny. This is
he cut them out to use for later movies.
It's funny what you said. The only time I think I may have cut out one fart sound. In fact, I know I did because the first one is. It's the very first fart you hear, and I figured that would be significant. But this movie has the least amount of clips I've done in months, and it's not because there weren't plenty of dialogue options and the music and stuff. It's because I was so enamored and so enthralled, I would forget to record shit because, or not just, you know, I record the whole time so I can go back, but I just kind of let it go because I was really enjoying it. So that is the highest compliment I can give to this movie. It distracted me from doing film sack things. Anyway, let's start with a fart. This is the very first one on the beach and it started rumbling and moved its way out. Here you go. Yeah, that would be the first of many.
Yeah. The body starts flopping around like a fish. And
yeah. definitely doesn't work that way, but I was happy to see them try to, justify it. For some reason, the song came up.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
So weird. He's singing Cotton Eye Joe out there.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's very good.
And then you're Radcliffe singing along with them later on.
Yeah.
I also really like, they kept referring to Jurassic Park. I love that.
Oh, that was such that music is so beautiful in the context of how they use it here is pretty neat.
And then they had that a cappella, because all the music was a cappella. I didn't know this till later.
Yeah.
Because some of it sounded like it maybe had more to it, but it was all a cappella arrangements. And I forgot the performers. Brian probably knows these people.
I had it in front of me a minute ago. Yeah.
Anyway, it was really, really unique and different. And I'm not even really an a cappella fan so much of covers and stuff. Not really into that. But when they did their a cappella version of the Jurassic Park theme, whoa, that's amazing. It made me want to watch, wait for it, Jurassic Park.
They were saying in that interview that John Williams never license his music to anybody, and the fact that they were able to get the rights to do that, even to do the a cappella version, is huge. And they said, and they asked him, did you tell him everything about the movie?
Probably what sold him on it. It'd be about a movie about fart.
Did you leave some parts of it out?
I didn't know he was the one that controlled that. I figured that would all be Lucasfilm or whoever owns the movie rights to the movies themselves. He gets to control that.
I think he gets to control it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you are John Williams.
John Williams.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
In a bunch of interviews after this movie, they were asked, so what's the genre here? What kind of movie is it? And they called it a fart drama. I love that so much. That's just, it's a fart drama.
It's a fart drama.
It's a drama of farts. That's like a Murder of Crows, a drama of farts. Here is Paul Dano screaming. All right.
That was I genuinely laughed out loud when he did that.
Yeah, water came out of that thing.
He jumped and he punched him and then ran off. It was amazing.
I have been wondering if every man has that yelp in him somewhere. And so I'm not going to try it now. And I'm probably not going to try it until I'm completely alone. So maybe in my car. Yeah, but I just want to know. If it's that in me, could I make that sound?
Sure, you could. Absolutely.
Sure, you could.
You ever heard yourself scream?
Yeah.
It's very out of body experience. If you ever heard yourself scream?
If I can do this, you can do it. Yeah. You can totally do it. Sorry for not warning you about that.
Yeah.
Where was I? Oh, here's one from... Oh, it's another scream. I forgot the context, though, but here it is.
Okay, buddy.
Oh, that was the scream and punch. I got it wrong. Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah, because that's Radcliffe saying, okay, buddy. And yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Daniel Radcliffe earned so many points for me.
The movie is so consistent about him finding his powers.
Yeah.
There's never a time when he is more competent than he's going to be later. Yeah, you know, like there's never a time when his voice is always getting just a little bit better, and it's really consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's underappreciated, I think. And I think I just love that he swings to these weird. We said it already, but you know, as far away from Harry Potter as you can get. I don't see it as running away from your typecasting. I just see it as him being willing to do weird shit, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, he's never rejected it.
No.
Harry Potter lifestyle. He just always went okay.
Even a pretty straight laced performance in that Sandra Bullock.
We talked about earlier.
What's that called again? They get stuck on the island.
Island.
Lost City.
Lost City.
Thank you.
Yeah, and he was the bad guy. He was great. Loved him in that. All right. If you don't know Jurassic... Well, here's a line about Jurassic Park.
If you don't know Jurassic Park, you don't know shit.
Well, that's true. That's true, right? We'd all agree with that.
It's true.
I don't think you know shit, especially in film. All right. Here's a cork in his butt.
Remember when you put that cork in my butt?
Yeah. Just here's a really like Harry Potter in this. Oh, I wrote, I really like Harry Potter in this. I meant Daniel Radcliffe, but here's a great bit of discussion.
But now that I've seen her, I can't get her out of my head. And I don't know if that's a thing that happens or if I'm just weird, but something tells me she's the one I'm supposed to bump into and spend the rest of my life with. And maybe if we can just find a way for me to remember her, then bam, it'll all come rushing back to me and the hairs on the back of my neck will stand up and I can save you.
It's just great.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Also, he's good at hiding his accent. Points for that.
Yeah.
You don't sound British at all in this. Nice job. All right. People don't like each other's farts.
People don't like other people's farts.
That is some truth. Hard truth, baby.
Yes.
Except Scott likes... everybody else's farts.
Sometimes other farts are funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think Eddie Murphy had a bit about that sometimes you secretly want to smell other people's farts.
Oh God, no.
I don't remember the rest of it.
I remember
though.
Mike Myers saying, "You always like your own blend."
Right.
Like your own scent.
Yeah. Your own scent.
Your own blend. I love the blend. That's a great one. I'm using that. We used to say growing up, my parents used to say this. They'd say, "All right, who farted in the car?" And we'd all be like, "Not me. It was her," whatever. And they go, "Scott, it's your brand." They'd always say that.
Oh my God.
My brand.
Maybe it's brand. I'm trying to remember the Mike Myers line. Maybe it's, "You always like your own brand."
Might have been brand, but blend's amazing. Yeah. I'm going to use blend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's that. Now this. And no chicks in the bucket. Everybody was accounted for. I didn't find any of those, by the way.
No, for sure. Yeah. Practically.
The Sports Illustrated swimsuit chick is in the bucket.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, the movie goes out of its way to avoid common tropes. Like, it's kind of the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. This is the checklist, the film sack checklist. You might be familiar with it. Here it is. More of a boy wizard than he was ever before. Check. You will drink your own milkshake. Absolutely, you will. And finally, point your boner north. Yes, check. Let's see. Star Trek connections. There's probably no one, but let's check. Yeah,
we don't have much, but if you'll allow me a little leeway, I noticed that one of the police officers in Swiss Army Man was played by an uncredited Jessica Harbeck.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that's the same Jessica Harbeck who did stunts in Star Trek Into Darkness. Mm-hmm. And Jessica Harbeck has done stunts in many other things, including on a film sack movie. She was credited for her stunt work in Army of the Dead.
Oh, wow.
She was Zombie Elvis. And I just love that.
Really?
Oh, I kind of remember that.
Yeah. Oh,
Zombie Elvis.
She's got to be careful. She's going to get typecast.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys excited about his new outer space deal? His two-part Rebel Moon, is it called? The new Zack Snyder deal. Yeah, I'm kind of excited because it was supposed to originally it was supposed to be another Star Wars thing, and then it got canceled or something. Netflix bought up his ideas, and then they made a full on thing. I'm kind of excited.
Interesting, really.
Yeah, I mean, I know he lets us down a lot, but I'm I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. We'll see how that goes. All right, let's get on to the soundtrack grade to give it weird and perfect. So a WP from me.
No, weird and perfect. So it's WAP.
Oh,
and
we all know what that also means. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we all know what that stands for. Workitude apple potato.
Sure, that's it.
Social post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. And I think this week we just turn the tables and start with Randy.
Swiss Army Man. I met him on the beach, cadaverous, out of reach, where I'd tried to kill myself, hanging from a rocky shelf. I didn't know just then, but I realized it when he farted in my face. 'Twas his body I'd embrace. I fell madly into love with this corpse devoid of any qualities redeeming. Yet about him, I'm still dreaming. You may think this grotesque and question my sexuality. There will never be another motionless, cold, clammy, skinned one for me.
Oh, man. That's deep today.
Yeah.
I like that. That was great. Also, Dunaway.
The Swiss Army Man, they sang and they danced, and it was beautiful until the farting and the shitting. Still beautiful, just a little less so. Hashtag motorbutt.
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 Motorbutt. Motorbutt. They should have called it. They called it Swiss Army Man for... He's not really, I mean, yes, he's used for lots of things, but it's not really the point of the movie. They could have said Motorbutt. That could have been it.
Motorbutt.
Yeah. Motorbutt.
All right, let's get to Brian Dunnell or Ibbitt finally here.
Swiss Army Man, a movie about farts, poop, boners, and Jurassic Park. I can definitely see why you like it.
Nicely done. Let's move on to the alternate titles. Just handed to me. Oh, that's a bag. That doesn't really work.
Whoa. Well, why not? They could come in a bag.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. They're in the little cards in a bag. There you go. We've made it all work. Harry and the Riddler go on an adventure. Was almost called. No. Or Dads Suck. That's the name of this movie.
Wow.
Because that's kind of where they were at. Now, normally we get emails from you people. We get texts from you people, voicemails, that sort of thing. But today we're going to focus on a texter named Kay Smith. We assume it is not Kevin Smith, the creator of many movies himself. Different Kevin Smith or Kay Smith. Anyway, says, hello, Sackers. Heard you mention possibly sacking Exorcist 3 during your sacking of Exorcist 1. Yes, you should absolutely sack it. He says, I saw it at the theater when it was released. I recall it being pretty good with a hospital scene that still kind of freaks me out when I think about it 30 plus years later. Happy sacking, Kay Smith.
Interesting.
I broke this up for two reasons. One, we've had a bunch of endorsements. I'm not going to read them all of seeing three. But also this idea of seeing it outside of Sacktober, totally fine with me. I don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It becomes more psychological later, right?
Right.
Right. And there's way too many great horror films or horror films that are good for film sack that we don't want to just limit it to four a year out of 52.
Yeah. You know? I agree. So I'd have no problem squeezing this in the near future.
Squeeze it in like a fart.
Like a fart. Like a cork. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You put in his butt.
Butt cork.
Butt cork. thank you for that message. If you would like to text us, you can 801-471-0462, or you can email us the old fashioned way, filmsack@gmail.com.
And we got a lot of Exorcist 3 talk on the Frog Pants Discord. So if you're not hanging out there yet, and this is the kind of thing that you relate to, you might want to go to the Frog Pants Discord and you'll find other people talking about such things.
There are links directly to it at filmsack.com, or you can go to frogpants.com/discord. Either one gets you there. We'd love to have you a part of the community. Nothing fancy. You don't have to do any hoop jumping. You just get in. It's just a link.
Just nothing crazy. In.
Reminder that we are supported by you and your good graces at home at patreon.com/filmsack. And I'd like to mention some new folks that joined us this week, including Diego Avila. Pete Sneakies. Lots of E's in that. And Seb resubbing to the film sack. It's nice to see him again. Three are awesome people, and you're joining a cadre of wonderment. great people in there, and we'd love having you here. No commercials ever. Pre-show content every week. And guess what? Monthly episodes. I got to get mine done. I'm so behind.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah, I'm due this month, and it's just been so crazy. But I will do it. I'm having it. I'm talking about perfect movies, or at least my definition of them. That's coming up soon, probably early next week, if I had to guess. Before Thanksgiving is the plan.
Something I really have been wanting to say more about the Patreon is that if you are a patron of FilmSack and you go on to our Patreon, you know, patreon.com/FilmSack, yeah, and you comment anywhere and say, hey, you guys should sack blah, 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 we're going to take that really seriously.
For like, real.
We're going to, yeah, that is pushing a film or maybe a watch along TV show way up toward the top of our potential upcoming. So like, just, you should know that.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Yeah. We wait
something.
Yeah, exactly. We weight you higher than others. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's weighted a logarithm.
We prefer you. So get that going. In the meantime, we're going to be watching our film next week called You Only Live Twice. It's some kind of small British thing, am I understanding?
Mm-hmm.
It's
something like that, yeah.
Oh, it's another James Bond movie. Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah. That. Yeah, so that's one I've never seen.
Time of year.
Never seen it. We got some racism in it. I'm excited about that. That'll be fun.
Oh, nice.
You Only Live Twice. Where is it streaming, Randy? Where are we getting that?
It's on Amazon Prime for us.
Yeah.
I am so impressed with how consistently we've been doing a James Bond movie every 5 months that I was like, I'm going to get a calendar here and see what the next one. When are we going to watch On Her Majesty's Secret Service?
Jeez. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Figure that out.
I think we would be doing it every 007 months. But,
Every July. Well, that's not 007, is it?
That's the seventh month. Sure. I see what you're doing.
That would be a fun tie-in. Well, anyway, that's coming up next week. You Only Live Twice, and you only play a Japanese man as a white man once, it turns out. So,
No, I think he's done it a couple times. Was it Rising? I guess Rising Sun was just a white man in Japan.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
White man in Japan.
Yeah, but he played a Russian in... but he just kept
for October.
Yeah, but he just kept talking Scottish. So dumb. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I really like that movie, but what would that? That's a real break for me. It's like, hold on, you're supposed to be a Russian admiral, and you're just like, listen here, you'll lose your car keys. You know, just talking like that. Anyway, that's next week. So go check that out. Amazon Prime videos where you'll see that. Filmsack.com. In the meantime, is our website. As we mentioned before, you can go there anytime and find all the stuff you're looking for. Leave us reviews on the various services you get your podcast. That helps us get noticed by new people. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Boobs, vaginas, and butts.
Oh, my.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.